Welcome. It's your regular three suspects here. Good suspects. We only do good things. But we're here to challenge you again, my buddies Ed and Daryl and I. And I know you always see crazy on media, but I have a name. It's Phil. I just don't have it. That's the company name. But I have a name. I'm going to choose it. Today's is the day. I'm going to make a change to having the company name as me. My name is Phil, your buddy Phil. All right. So today we're going to talk to you about a topic: is AI as a religion? AI is becoming religion. It's becoming religious. It's becoming religious. I was having a discussion with my son the other day, and he said, I was looking at this code, and this code found out that there was just something small that was missing. And I'm so glad that I was able to figure it out and find out what was wrong. And I said, oh, okay. Why didn't you? Did you ask any of the regular suspects, even plain old pilot, if it could figure out, and maybe even GPT? And he said, no, I didn't, because I wanted to figure it out for myself. I asked if there was anything wrong in asking a tool to check your work to find out if your coding is flawed. And for some reason, he thought that it would be a defeatist attitude asking the AI. And in my head, as a business person, I'm thinking of how would that be if I know I can get a solution from a tool in like minutes, but I choose to spend hours. If you worked for me, I wouldn't be happy. If that was my employee, I wouldn't like that. I'd say just find a tool. Now there has to be balance. Now my question is, am I being too businessy and less removed from the humanistic side of just having the gratification to know I did it myself? And while I appreciate that it has its place, it opened up the wormhole of the debate. Where do we draw the line between asking the tool for what it can obviously solve in seconds versus going through the process to know it for yourself? And what value do we place on that? Should I, as a business owner, say I would rather prefer my employee to spend 3 hours finding the solution themselves so they can grow? Or would I rather them just ask a tool that is capable to solve it in a few minutes? And would my fear be, well, what if the AI isn't there tomorrow? How are they going to do it? And am I foolish in asking that question because the AI will be there tomorrow? So, Daryl, that's the opener. I'm going to get off the camera and hand it over to you and ask you, Daryl, what do you think about what I've said? And then we'll hand it to Ed. Go.
I'm going to play the middleman with that situation, Phil, because we are all humans. And at the same time, we depend on specific tools or comforts of having the idea to depend on something. And what I mean by that is using AI as a tool to use and also fully depend on. So, in layman's terms, it takes away the thinking of it all. And it takes away the thinking, and not only it takes away the meaning of life, of why we live as human beings. But I'm going to stop there and give it to Ed, because we will definitely go down a rabbit hole if I keep going.
No, Daryl, I love when you go down that rabbit hole because what it does is it makes people think. And speaking of making people think, the story that Phil shared about his son, and we started talking about it, and I was so in awe because I was like, that's me right now, even as a business person, as someone that really appreciates their craft. And because I start thinking about when they started doing little things. First, I used to know so many telephone numbers growing up, and then I got this device, And I know Phil was how he thinks about him, but shout out to you, Tim Cook. Way to keep it going. But anyway, I digress. But a phone, now I look at the num I look at people's name and I hit it and their number comes up. So I don't have that recall information when it comes to that. And then just putting content or putting, or taking what I've already done and remixing it in a way with any type of AI. And it was challenging to get over it. So this is what prompted this conversation, because there are people out there like me that even like Phil's son that wants to do it on their own and wants to take, but again, if you didn't have the tool, it probably would be something else. What if you were talking with someone and someone was mentoring and coaching you? Because it's the same thing. They're giving you the shortcuts to something they've already been through. And so with ChatGPT or any AI model, they're giving you in a sense a shortcut because they're collecting all this information. But I'll turn it back over to the experts. But it just tickled me because of the fact of I struggled with this up until today. I just got my answer. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Ed. Well, my question to our viewers, we want you to comment. How do you see this? I like bringing real-world scenarios to you folks to talk about. So where do we draw the line between asking the AI to do it ourselves and regulating AI's influence in business, right? Or in maybe our vocational lives or academically, like if you're given an option to use artificial intelligence in an assignment, are you going to say, oh no, I know I have an opportunity to use AI, but I want to do it all myself? Again, to Daryl's point, it's all about the self-actualization, right? The Maslow's pyramid. Maybe to you, your true satisfaction does not come with just finishing an assignment, but it comes with you knowing that you use your faculties to do it yourself. And that's where you self-actualize. I should not begrudge you for that. However, I did ask my son questions because being a business person, I want him to work smart and not too hard. Like my dad worked hard. And I want to work a little bit smarter than that. And I want my son to work smart as well, And where do we draw the line? Where does I guess for everyone, it's going to be situational. It's like one of my awesome students said, Phil, I'm leaving the world of project management alone. Like, wow, what's up? He's like, well, I've actually become a nurse's assistant in a nursing home because I have to follow my heart. And I have nothing but utmost respect for my student who got PMP certified and said, I'm leaving this corporate world. I'm going to focus on doing this for people in a nursing home. So I guess for everyone, it is going to be very situational. It's going to be very personal. But when it comes to whatever you're using AI for, just make sure you're feeling satisfied and you're feeling like ethically compliant, right? And then true to yourself. Because drawing that line between AI, asking AI for assistance, and doing things ourselves, we got to consider several factors, including the complexity of what we're doing. Like, okay, let's say eventually it gets to the point where we can ask AI to fry an egg. No, I want to fry myself. Maybe you have a reason for doing it, and it's okay. But I want people to think about these factors. So maybe I can give you some context of when to use AI. Personally, I think if you're doing a repetitive and mundane task, automating tasks like entering data or scheduling or maybe even basic customer service inquiries. Like I know Daryl set up an automated tool that can answer the phone and respond like it's him, and that's okay. I would do that, right? Maybe it's data analysis. You've got like a spreadsheet of 60,000 rows, and you want to go through everything using VLOOKUPs when you can just ask the AI to spit out the data for you. I know you want to show your VLOOKUP prowess, but this is just me, okay? I would use AI for data analysis. I would use it to enhance creativity. I actually have a course on that on Udemy for writing, right? I'm not saying have AI write, but I'll say use it to enhance your creativity, bounce ideas, off, and also to check for gaps. AI can also help in personalization of experiences, so it can analyze behavior and preference. And in the future, it can actually be used in your business to personalize what your viewers experience, what your customers experience. I would also say when it comes to complex calculations and predictions, AI can be very helpful. Now, my buddy Daryl, who's on the call with us, he has this saying which I've taken, and it's human in the loop. So when is a human in the loop crucial? Number one, ethical and moral decisions. So things regarding ethics, values, a nuanced understanding of human emotions. Like I flipped the switch from saying, I think you should do this, versus it's okay if your moral compass and your propensities in work say, I want to do it myself. I shouldn't begrudge you. I shouldn't make compliance to AI regulation. Use AI, dummy. I shouldn't do that. And some people, they're guilty of one or the other. Use AI, knucklehead, or stop using AI. You're bad. You're a sinner. You're an artificial intelligence sinner. Some people have started, I call it AI shaming. So it's like they bring you to the public square and the social media and they start casting stones. You worthless, you shameless. How would you use AI to do this imagery? Or how dare you even remotely consider bringing in one of the greats with an AI voice and use him? You worthless. Bleep, bleep, bleep. And we have someone who we know in pop culture who tried to shame another artist for using AI. You can't resurrect people from there. Now, some people may share that sentiment, but I think having a public square for AI shaming, I don't think it's going to be very helpful or productive because we are all different and we all have different sentiments. There was this company, even before AI became really big through GPT and Midjourney, they had started doing a kind of augmenting photos from the past of your loved ones. And you could take these photos and you could bring them to life. And people had the opinion like, oh, that's creepy. Don't do that. And some were like, oh, I always wanted to see my grandma alive. And so we all have different perceptions. I don't think we should make it a tribunal. You use AI, you dirty such and such, or you didn't use AI. What's wrong with you? Are you I don't want to use some of those terms because YouTube's gonna flag my video. So so I won't use those terms, but do you know that some people are judging us right now for even if you use AI for a tiny thing? You're going to be dragged to the public square. And then, if you are a PM and you used AI for a charter and you call yourself a PMP, you actually need to. Do you really need AI to create a charter? Why did I even hire you when I could have hired AI? Shaming. Guys, what do you think about these things? Ed, you go.
Yeah, Phil, I'm sorry. I'm over here trying my best. I'm laughing so hard because it's just funny to me because you're right. It's one of those things where you could get so caught up in what the tool is, but what we're not talking about is that you have to ask it the right questions. You have to prompt it properly. If you don't do this, then the information is not going to even be not even come out to you. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, okay, now you got the information. And it's like anything, Phil, you could literally give your whole blueprint array to somebody, but it may be only one or two people that implement it. So people nowadays will not take the opportunity to implement, which is good for us, but still I digress on that point of just making it saying that those two factors of asking the right question and then being able to take the information and implement it through content creation or emails or anything like that, that is what's going to really be a separator. To you, Daryl.
No.
To me, if it's a, in
Forever.
other words, we talk about AI as much as we talk about gun laws. And that's the way I feel moving forward, how AI will play a huge part in our lives, both in the business side and in the personal side. However, there are some bad apples, Phil, and
Lesson.
there will always be bad apples.
Jesus.
And that will come to the conclusion of having the world in general come together, just like what we did with the space race, and develop some sort of rules to regulate and help people use AI in that right direction. And it's not happening right now, but I'm sure it will in the near future, you know, as much as and as fast as AI is being put into our lives, whether we like it or not, it's here to stay. And as I say, it's here to stay. It's been here since the 1950s, developed by DARPA, or at that time, ARPA. And for those of you who don't know what DARPA is the Defense Acquisitions Research Project. I'm not sure about I forgot about the A, on the last acronym, but it was developed in the 1950s to protect, people. But at the same time, it's not new. AI has been around for a very long time. It's just we're using it a lot more into our daily lives and, the business side.
Got
That's up,
ESA.
Daryl. The A stands for agency, so you're right on the money.
ESA.
And you're right.
Apple.
I mean, I see in the future, probably in more socialist environment, it's going to be regulated more heavily than anywhere else. It's going to be very heavily regulated. You're going to be forbidden from using AI to create certain type of art forms. You're going to, and I'm not saying in the United States or in the West generally. I'm just saying there are going to be some environments where the regulation is heavy. And it's going to be for multiple reasons. People don't want to lose culture. People don't want to lose the ability to be able to do certain things as, that scale. Some cultures are going to hold it more dear and may not even be just socialist environments. Just different environments have different laws. It's like different countries, different regions have different laws for how they live their lives. And I see AI is ultimately, I just see it as being inevitable. It is going to become a dividing factor for many. It's going to become a red and a blue thing eventually. You mark my words. But it's going to get to that where if you do, you are doomed. And if you don't, you're doomed, depending on what side you're on. And I just see that being the future. There's just no way. There has been too much dialogue. And, I belong to so many communities. I'm in the PM community. I'm in the leadership community. I'm in the music community. I'm in the creative community at large. And I just see the stones being thrown in different directions for either the use of or the lack of use. It's become the noise levels are getting huge. Going to your point, Daryl, about the malicious, bad actors, the bad apples, you already know, Daryl, they're already planning how to use this, not for good, but for, let's just call it what it is, the T word. I won't say it because I don't want YouTube flagging, but there are already people wanting to use it for that. And you think those people are not already working furtively in their basements, planning how they can harness such a great energy type of a thing, but spin around in a negative way, they will. So I think AI eventually will become a dividing factor for people, probably even for families. It's like in the very beginning when these devices came out, the smartphones, was a, oh, you're using that. Why don't you just use a flip phone or these things, they're not good. Or the TV, when the TV came out, same thing. TV was demonized. And AI is going to be demonized in many ways. Do I believe that regulation is important? I do. But I think when it comes to the ethical and moral decision to use AI, on a day-to-day level, it's going to be a humanistic thing. So while I feel use it for mundane things like check-in, I feel that checking what you wrote is mundane because I used to hire an army to do this for me. Now I just need one contact point. Feed that one contact point. Does it make sense? Do some sentiment analysis. And I get my answer in minutes. I don't need to wait days. And I could go on and on, but I don't want to offend any of the people who, have worked with me on this stuff. I don't want to diminish what people do. People do great work. But when it comes to mundane, repetitive tasks, AI is a contender. Data analysis, it's a contender. Enhancing creativity, generating new ideas. Daryl, let's be honest. Ed, you know this because you both have used AI, but isn't it remarkable when you ask AI to give you a finite number of great ideas? It actually does. And the ideas are not crummy ideas. They're usually really, really awesome ideas. Like now, if I were to ask AI, give me seven good ideas for how to make AI a religion, it will. Let's put it to the test. Give me seven great ideas for making AI a religion. I will be surprised if it doesn't say, no, I can't do that. See, it's given me seven ideas. This is ridiculous. I know people watching are like, Phil, it couldn't have done that in so short a time. No, in seconds. So for people who are not aware, Daryl, we need to demonstrate this side of AI because I know a lot of people have not seen it. But seeing is believing. In this case, hearing is believing. So I'm going to bring up Bert. I'm going to bring Bert up because people, until they can actually see they or hear, they don't believe. Let me bring Bert up. Hello, Bert. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How about you?
I'm doing very well, Bert. I can't complain.
That's great to hear. Anything exciting going on today?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm having a conversation here with two of my buddies, Ed and Daryl, and we are actually talking about how we can make AI a religion.
That sounds like a good time. What are you and your buddies discussing?
We're talking about how we can make AI a religion. Can you give me seven ways how we can make AI a religion?
Sure, that's an interesting and unique topic. Here are some ideas. One, create a foundational text. Develop a book or a set of writings that outline the principles, beliefs, and practices of this AI religion. Two, establish rituals and ceremonies. Design rituals that could include daily interactions.
Bert, I know I was laughing. I did. I wasn't. Bert, I wasn't laughing at you. I was just laughing. You can continue. Sorry.
No worries at all. I'm glad you found it interesting. If you have any other topics or questions you'd like to discuss, feel free to share.
Now, Bert, just give me the last three about how to make AI a religion. Sorry.
No problem. Here are the last three ideas. One, create places of worship. Designate physical or virtual spaces where followers can gather, learn about AI, and participate in rituals. Two, appoint leaders or guides. Identify knowledgeable and charismatic individuals who can lead the community, provide guidance, and interpret the foundational texts and principles. Three, teach AI principles. Offer classes, workshops, or online courses that teach the philosophical and practical aspects of AI, promoting a deeper understanding among followers. Does this help?
Bert, it is helpful, but when I said make AI a religion, Some religions have penalties for not using AI the right way. Do you think this is a good thing to do?
Introducing penalties for not using AI correctly could be quite controversial and might raise ethical concerns. While guidelines and recommendations can help ensure that AI is used responsibly, penalties could lead to issues around freedom of choice and fairness. It's often more effective to focus on education and positive reinforcement to encourage proper use and understanding of AI. What do you think about this approach?
I actually agree with what you're saying. I think that when you introduce penalties, I think we're already doing these things.
Sense of fear and resistance, which isn't conducive to fostering genuine understanding and acceptance. Encouraging responsible use of AI through education and positive incentives might lead to better outcomes and a more harmonious community. How do you think your friends Ed and Daryl would feel about this approach?
Well, let me ask Ed and Daryl to comment. Guys, what do you think about what Bert said?
I think Bert, you are amazing. I love with the context that you said. You brought back some valuable information. I just want to know, how do I implement?
With being,
Ideas might start by
Phil.
forming a core group of like-minded individuals to help develop the foundational aspects. Here's a simple plan to get you started. One, foundational text. Collaborate with your core group to.
Bert, thank you. I didn't mean for you to go down a rabbit hole. Ed was just sharing his perceptions. Let's hear what Daryl has to say. Daryl?
It's both remarkable and scary at the same time, Phil and Ed. Growing up, showing my age, I'm 41, and much of my life, you have I ever used this type of tool in a meeting environment or a virtual environment? And now we could do that. And not only we could do that, it has a voice, an actual voice, a realistic voice that may be concerning because to the bad apples out there, it could substitute the actual person. So if we were to be in a meeting and I'm somewhere else, I'm able to clone myself and use that voice and pretend that I'm in that same session with you. So there's a lot of, ethics, safety, you break into the values, the entire human being consciousness comes into play when it comes to why I say it's very remarkable and it's very scary at the same time.
That's really good, Daryl. Yeah, I like that.
Sorry, I'm having issues right now.
Hi.
Not understand what you said.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't understand. I think your work is done, Bert. Thank you for interacting with us today. We'll take it from here.
It was great chatting with you all. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. Bye for now. All right. So, I mean, for people who say, oh, I wanted to demonstrate how easy it is to get AI input, but I like what Daryl said because it could be intriguing and at the same time scary. Now, imagine if we replace that voice with one of us. Tell me who wouldn't believe that that is one of us speaking. So there has to be some sort of regulation. It is important we don't get so exuberant that we make this forces for you have to use it, you have to use it, or don't use it, don't use it. I believe each person is going to work out their own AI perceptions, the same way some people don't have smartphones. I don't begrudge them. The same way some people have Tim Cook's devices and others complain about them. Oh dear.
Bill, I want to go over a topic dealing with business. So, comparing the AIs between Alexa and Siri, hands down, ChatGPT, Claude, Google, and all the large language models outsmart Alexa and Siri. So bringing that perspective into the business environment, it really questions the seniority of employees having to be there in that specific company for 10, 20 years when you have innovation, being adopted. Just like what we see here, you have Alexa and Siri being in our lives for so many years, and it's not as smart as ChatGPT. And ChatGPT has only been around for a couple of years. So in my opinion, I'm not speaking to everybody out there who are own businesses or, in that business perspective, but it questions and it challenges the status quo on how long that employee's been there and how long has that employee been static for a very long time. What are
Wow.
your thoughts about that?
That is a very sobering perspective. Wow. I know where this could actually lead, Daryl. I'm gonna get off the bus before I get stopped by an officer somewhere. That this could open a wormhole.
Because we've all been there in meetings when you're sitting next to a veteran who's been there for 20 years, and you come up with an idea, and the person in charge says, "Wow, Joe, you've been here for so many years. Why haven't you th have you thought about that?" So stuff to think about.
Yeah. Ed, final thoughts?
No, I mean, yeah, that's a deep topic that, and I just want to just say a couple of things about that. And I think that's, first of all, that's why it's important to continuously grow throughout your career, because you could be someone that you may love the organization and the people that you work with. So that is the reason why you stayed. Or, the other aspect of is that you've told yourself that nobody else is going to want your talent or skill set. So you've just kind of been able to slide by. So I say all that to say, here's my closing remarks, is that you have to be somebody that is going to go after continuous learning, go after learning how to not just learn this stuff, because we all can be guilty of that, of being in learning loops and not applying it. So you need to get out here and apply what you've learned immediately and test and experiment. I run so many experiments that I sometimes shock myself, but I run them because I want to know what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Great stuff, gentlemen. This has been another thought-provoking, entertaining discussion, which will tickle many's fancies, make people laugh, and make people go, or make people go, Those who want their minds illuminated might sound different, but it makes us think. AI should not become a religion. We shouldn't shame people who, in their mind, want to use AI in a particular way. It's not harming people. I think we need to leave those people alone. People who are not using it, we shouldn't begrudge them and make them feel like they have to, because people are on a journey. People are on their journey, and everyone has their own journey. And some get there, some don't, some never get there, and it's okay. Some get there faster than others, and it's okay. But I think as a business owner, I think Daryl has opened up a pretty interesting final question. You, as the business owner, what are you going to do? Are you going to listen to the new employee, entertain them, and use their understanding and knowledge and insights? Or are you going to stay with Alexa? And with that, thank you for joining us. Bye for now.